Football Banter Podcast with Cole and Jettis.
Right about now, baby. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul.
Cole and Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the General Banter Podcast. This is the ninth podcast I've done in the last 24 hours. My guest today, Aaron McCann, who is here reluctantly at knife point.
Yeah.
I've given a nicotine pouch to you and you're scared to move.
It's because I'm tired and I think I've got herpes. That's why I wanted to go to sleep.
Sleep doesn't cure herpes.
Yeah, I don't think you know. Sleep away the herpes.
I don't think it's herpes, I don't know.
And our first time on General Banter.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Eddie Malarkey.
Good to see you, lads.
I'm experiencing that thing where, like, my child is called Eddie.
Is he?
And we, you know, it's just Eddie all day. Sometimes I have to say his full name at, like, play school, and I forget that he has a second name. Because you're just calling him the one name all the time. Yeah. But now you're the only other Eddie that I know.
Eddie Geddes has a nice ring to it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because initially, when we were naming him, when he was just born, I was like, Geddes is, like, a bit of a shitty name. Geddes. And then I remembered Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam. You know?
So I had nothing to do with it.
Eddie Vedder. Wait, no. I don't even know if I knew you then.
No, we didn't. No.
When did we meet?
How old is Eddie?
4 next month.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if we've known each other 4 years, have we?
No, about a year.
About a year?
Yeah.
It feels like longer. Feels. In a good way.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks.
Feels like I've known you for ages, for fuck's sake. Malarkey's a great comedy name.
Yeah, it's a handy one. Someone told me recently, a lot of people ask, oh, is it a stage name? Is that a stage? No. Apparently, someone said nominative determinism is when you become your name.
Yeah.
So apparently that's what I've done.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a lucky name for comedy. Yeah. Before comedy, before I did stand up.
If you were like
working in PC world. Yeah.
If you were going like a funeral director. Welcome to Malarkey's. Get in that fucking box, you mad bastard. No, that is great. That is the thing though. I know people, their surname's Barber. They're a barber.
Yeah.
Chris Souter owns a suit shop.
Oh yeah, that's, I mean, have you used it for a show name?
Yeah, Ireland's Full of Malarkey. Nice. That was my first solo show.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been trying to brainstorm other show names since with Malarkey.
Making show names is the worst.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
When you get that name though that you can use in everything.
Yeah.
Joe Lycett does it real well. What are the ones he has?
That's the way. Joe Lycett. You funniest fucking kidding me?
look at after the Popeye laugh. I love
I've got the nicotine patch in, or pudge.
You it's think it's going to fall out if you laugh too hard?
Yeah, it's sore.
Is this one of them strong up there, is it?
Yeah. Just a road made gums.
Yeah?
Like the waves in the causeway. It's tight going. Who am I, Seamus Heaney?
Definitely not. Eddie Malarkey. Yeah, the northern version, that would be like Davey Banter.
What was your first Irish show name?
Transblender?
Ah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Or no, there was probably definitely one, but no, Comments Disabled.
That's great too.
Which was kind of clever because it was making YouTube videos and trying to do stand-up. But then a lot of people were like, so where do you address the disabled issues or something? You're like, it's not what it's about at all.
Why does disabled issues have to be addressed?
Because it's Edinburgh.
Yeah, it's Edinburgh. They didn't get that Comments Disabled was from like a YouTube thing.
Right, yeah.
You know? And they were slightly... here, if anywhere disabled people... It's fucking Edinburgh. Yeah. What did Damo say one time? He goes, I went to one of his shows in Edinburgh and he was like, the city that says fuck you to wheelchairs. Edinburgh, you know what I mean? Like, you can barely walk around.
Oh, there's some gradient in that city.
Like, if you wear anything but like hiking boots, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
We better rain down what, like Nidri Street.
Yeah.
Get the skates on, man.
I drove over to Edinburgh. I stayed this year gone. I stayed in a mini camper van and I got back to Ireland. The streets are so bad for driving. When I got back, like a week after, the wishbone in the van fucking cracked, popped. And you know, the wishbone is what keeps your wheels turning. Fucking, so I was losing control of the van as I was driving into Dublin. And then I fucking went to park. And I just, you know when you're parking, you just, I'll tip the curb to make sure I'm fully, tip the curb and then I just heard a and then I tried to reverse out and then I just skidding wheels. The wheels were both rammed in.
Oh my God.
I'm convinced it's Edinburgh. It's the bumps and the fucking cobble. It's everywhere across the whole. It's just, you know, it's.
I mean, you know, Edinburgh's bad if you're from Ireland and you're complaining about the roads in Edinburgh.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean. I've noticed that a few times, like driving around like Scotland or something. You come back and you're going through the countryside and you're like, "What the? Where is the tax money going here?"
Yeah,
yeah.
I said that the other day, driving our son to play school. The road is speed bumps and like fucking just potholes everywhere. And I was driving along and I was like, they should start a... I said in the morning, I was like, if they started a GoFundMe to fix this part of the road, I'd pay for it. And yeah. She was like, well, there is a GoFundMe. It's called road tax. You know? It's just like fucking all over the place. But you're a van guy now.
Yeah, I stayed in the van last night right outside this studio.
Yeah, well, don't tell people that.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I mean, I stayed in the van in a camping site right outside.
What sort of setup do you have in the back there?
Man, it's a killer fucking van. I'm very happy with it. The engine, the van itself is shit, but the interior... It was pre-converted when I bought it. It's got a little mini fridge, sink, gas cooker, fucking cabinets, a little wardrobe, the work pull-out bed. Yeah, yeah, it was properly done.
I'm almost taking out of the gander.
Did you do this or did you buy it like that?
No, I would have absolutely demolished a van if I tried to put anything, I would have fucking minced it. So it was pre-done and I thought I was getting a banging deal, but I wasn't. I had to spend like $2,500 in the mechanic straight away. The engine was absolutely in bits, but... I'll tell you one thing though. 1, 2, 3 nights, fine. Edinburgh, 1 month, man.
That's a lot,
yeah.
Man.
Oh,
that's a lot.
The reason, you know, part of the reason I got it was all these van life, I was following them on hashtag van lifers on Instagram and YouTube and stuff. I was like, man, this looks unbelievable. Like this lifestyle is a class. So I was like, oh, I've got to get one of these. Bought one. They're so full of shit, those van lifers.
Yeah.
It is such a misportrayal.
Of course they are. Like,
course. I don't know how I didn't clock it, but like, you know, they just make it out as if it's all luxury. It's all good life. It's always a really good looking couple as well. You know,
that's what I was going to say. I would buy the van and be like, where's the girl that doesn't wear a bra ever? Yeah. You know, she didn't come with a fucking van.
It does look good in that when they've got the couple and he's out making the beans and all. And you're like, all right. Like, you know, you return to nature and all. I get it. But then the reality is you're just fucking.
Yeah, what do you do at midnight when you're parked in a city and you have to take a poo? Like, what do you do?
That's my next question. What did you do for shitting purposes?
And then shits go?
Well, one it only happened one night in a month, which I thought was a success. And I was like, well, I can't do it on the street, you know.
Yeah.
Also, you know, the police in the UK are a bit more strict than the Gardaí, like, you know.
Yeah.
If I did it in Dublin, the guard would probably be like, ah, you're stuck in the van. You're all right, you know, you're grand.
Holds his hat over your fucking ass.
Cover yourself, lad. Yeah. Jesus. So I was freaking out. I was like, you know, you got to go. You like woke up at 1 a.m. and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. So I hopped in the driving seat and I drove looking and I found a spot and I don't need to say any more for legal reasons.
Right, okay.
I had to drive.
Did you get out of the van to shit?
Yeah, I had to. I mean, you're not, you can't.
Yeah. You can't shit in the van. The couple's not doing that.
You can urinate in the van.
Yeah.
Where do you piss in the van?
5 liter bottles. I mean, I never, my missus wants to go and piss in the van.
I mean, you'd be pissing in a cup or something, you know what I mean? And he needs a fucking 5 liter drum.
For a second there too, I thought you meant you only shit once the entire month. I was going to be like, what kind of diet are you on? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Does it click if you fell to the top?
5 liters, holy fuck.
Oh, do you half a month at least?
No.
5 liters is probably
I filled about 4 or 5 liter bottles over the month. And I never told, like, I just realized now that this is going out, my miss is going to be, she's going to be so disgusted, you know, because she's using the van next week. But, I mean, the bottles, they're gone. Like, they're not, I don't leave them in the van for good.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a cafe like right close to where I parked for the month. I'd say they hated me, man.
Yeah.
Because I'd come in and obviously take a dump like 9 a.m. every morning.
After the 5 liter? Yeah.
You put a coat around 5 liters of bed.
Get a fucking clean and fuck off. Yeah.
Morning. It just takes ages. God, it'll just be a second. I like the thing you did. You know, did you empty as you go, or do you just let it hit the 5 liter mark?
I hit the 5 liter mark and then empty.
Oh, nice.
Yes. What did your pish look like? Like 5 liters of pish.
It was IPA. I was well hyped.
Hazy?
Like a double IPA.
I was well hydrated, you know.
That's good. Yeah. 5 liters of my piss would be fucking chemical danger.
It's like a drum of vegetable oil.
Best way to measure your hydration is just continuously urinate in a 5 liter bottle. You can see the exact yeah. how much you're...
Yeah, that's like the weekly stats. When you fill it up over the week and then hold the chart up and be like, no, we're doing well. You do well to be hydrated in Edinburgh, you know, run around drinking pints flat out.
Yeah, so could you not like cook or not? Like, did you just have to eat out all the time or like?
I just ate out all the time. You could cook, but part of the problem is as well, the battery lasts about 3-4 days, which is good. Like if you're, you know, but it was a month.
Yeah.
You know, I drive around a little bit. You drive, that charges the battery. So if you drive for like an hour and a half, battery is fully charged, then your fridge will work for 2 nights. So I wasn't going to, you know, so I basically didn't refrigerate anything. I had loads of dates and apricots. And then, you know, just ate out. The cafe, there was a Costa. That's where I used to go in the morning and get my, I'd come in with like Aldi bits of bread and I'd buy a coffee and then I'd be like butter in the breakfast and cutting corners as you have to do in life. And then you know, it's a big franchise. The staff don't even care.
Oh yeah.
You know, if it's a small the cafe, teenagers. You can't do it to a small cafe.
Yeah.
But a Costa, so I'd go in.
They're like, as long as you're not shooting heroin, you can do whatever the fuck you want in a Costa. Yeah.
And I had like this, I bought this like turbo battery pack for the van. So when the van's batteries ran out, I'd have this and that would like charge your laptop and your phone for another 5 days, you know, you're sorted. So I'd come in some days with this giant unit and a laptop and a phone charger and several other things and a plug extension. I'd be like, yeah, an espresso. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking making a profit on this, I tell you, let's plug it in.
They'll be here for the next 6 hours. Yeah.
At that point, you might as well just bring in a fucking desktop computer.
Oh, yeah.
World's best dad mug.
Yeah, start mining for, mining for crypto in Costa. Looking in graphics cards and all
Yeah, I wonder
sorts.
What they thought you did.
I wonder. I mean, I never told... I couldn't tell them that, you know... Yeah.
I would say during the fringe, they put two and two together.
Yeah,
there's a crazy man in a van here.
Yeah. There was a couple of vans, campers parked on that one street because it was obviously a decent spot.
Yeah.
Who's your man, Paul Curry? He goes over in a van every year as well.
Does he stay in the van?
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
As far as I know, yeah.
I thought he just filled it full of trinkets and drove over.
Or maybe that's what he does. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So you've been fooled by the van life then?
Yeah, I've been fooled, man. It was an ill investment.
Think so?
I mean, it was, you know, you spend all this money and then you weigh up how often you're going to use it. Look, I've no regrets. Fuck it.
That's why, last night I was like, sure, we can probably get you a room for the night. And you're like, no.
Yeah.
I've been waiting all month for this.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's cool. I like it.
Short. Yeah. I mean, you've made a commitment. So I will, I'll turn down a hotel now. You know, I'm like, I've made this personal investment. Like, you know, no matter how cold or crap it is, I'm like, well, this is me now. Like, I'm fucking...
What's worse, waking up cold or trying to suffer the heat in the summer?
It doesn't get too hot. That's one thing. Okay. It's well insulated, so that kind of keeps the cool a little bit. So that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could be easily fooled because you will see those van life videos where, someone takes the little GoPro and they step out in the fucking bikini and they're at like some, you know, blue flag beach somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as waking up in Edinburgh.
No.
You open the doors, there's a homeless guy eating a rat, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, the Scottish, man, they have a temper like no one else. Do you ever find that over there? Like,
not in Edinburgh, really.
Not in Edinburgh, no.
No, I mean, I lived in Glasgow for a year. It's a bit different there, all right. But no, I brought the bike with me. So I brought the bike in the van. I'd cycle into town to do the gigs. And one day I was cycling and there was like three, it was a rough enough area. There was three fucking lads walking across the road. I stopped on the white line. So technically, you know, like I should have stopped on the white line before it.
Yeah.
I was still like 4 feet from this lad. He had the green light. There was loads of space. I had headphones on and he turns to me. I couldn't hear a word he was saying, but he comes right up to my face, starts screaming, "The fucking lane, Paul, is there, you fucking cunt, you. Why the fuck are you going to fucking kill someone?" I was like, yes. Sorry.
You were going to kill someone on the bike?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And, I think like they're just a bit more, they respect rules a bit more. So if you break the rule, they get a lot angrier than they would in Ireland, where looser on rules.
Yeah.
So if someone else breaks the rule, you're kind of like, well, I'd probably break it myself, you know, you know, whatever. But they're like, how fucking dare you?
Edinburgh might as well be England. You know what I mean? They've got that sort of attitude.
Yeah.
They're all very kind of...
Going to get some angry messages now.
I mean, for example, we popped to the shop earlier and one side of the road had a lot of traffic. It's like two lanes on each side. And there's a car coming down. There was a bit of space and he flashed me and let me out. And I went, cheers. And I pulled into the, you know, when you're sort of like wedged into the lane, you're not fully in it. So he let me out, and then I couldn't fully get in because of the traffic. And he's like, and you're like, don't flash me out then, you fucking idiot, you know?
Yeah.
But they love that sort of shit around here.
Yeah.
How many shows did you have at the Fringe this year? Because you boys are wild for.
Oh man, yeah, I did
having
a
like
solo
fucking 12,
show.
12 shows a day.
Yeah, a solo show, and then I did a compilation show as well. And then we did a fucking. I did like, in order to film my solo show, I did about 3 or 4 compilations every day to get people in.
Yeah.
Because that's more effective than flyering in for your show. So I was
doing. Definitely.
Yeah, I was doing 3 or 4 from like midday until 4 p.m. I was just doing compilations around town. And then I'd run over to do my solo show at 5 p.m. And yeah, it was mayhem. But I was glad I didn't drink. I didn't drink until the last week.
No wonder you had that clear piss, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
But I realized there's no way. The first few days I was having pints. Then I was like, I can't do these compilations. Basically, I was a bit further out of town. I wasn't going to get the footfall to, and I had people out flyering and stuff. So I was like, if I don't get the numbers into the solo, it's like you're weighing up. You can drink. If you've got a big following, you're sorted. Like, you know, you can just, but I'm not quite there. But so, you know, you can drink and have lower numbers in your solo show.
Yeah.
Or you can be sober and have higher numbers in your solo show and you're weighing it up.
Yeah.
And then by the last week, I said I couldn't give a fuck anymore. I'm drinking.
Yeah.
And had the best week of my life.
I was going to say game changer for the van sleeps, I'd say.
Oh, you're conked, man.
Yeah.
Conked. Yeah. Yeah. Also, by the last week, you're kind of maybe a bit of word of mouth. People are coming anyway to your show. You know, you're kind of like, But also in a van though, if you drank most nights of the week, can you imagine every comedian in Edinburgh, how much their health deteriorates over the month? You see people and you're like, they're a shadow after a month of themselves. Imagine staying in a van and doing that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, you just couldn't.
The smells alone, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
just those fucking drunk farts in the van all night.
Oh, my van would be stinking.
People, that's a good tip though. You know why people always what week is it? Like third week or something in Edinburgh, people start to be, you know, get depressed and all that shit.
Yeah,
third week, save the drinking till you hit the wall of depression.
Yeah,
then you start drinking.
Yeah,
because you don't want to have like 14 hangovers in your body.
Yeah,
before you hit the depression.
Yeah,
yeah, balance it with the drink. Then
mask it with the drink.
Mask it.
You know,
any van wanks.
Oh, Van Wanks, man. That should be a
big Van Wanks fan? Dutch trance DJ, Van Wanks? I'd have a wank in it before I bought it. I'd be like, can I get... I just can hardly swing an elbow in here.
That question was burning in my head. I had to get it out. Any longer, I would have fucking...
I mean, that's a huge advantage of a camper. Yeah, if you've got a car, you can't really wank.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, I know. I don't even have a license. I'm still doing.
In my car on the way up. I thought you were asleep.
That's why I'm fucked, man. Wait, so yeah, you probably shouldn't wank in a car, but
legally. Uh-huh. But in a van, camper van or any van, you're blacked out or you got curtains, whatever, in the back. It's any time the urge. On the motorway, driving from fucking Cairn Yarn, got the ferry.
Classic blessing of the horn.
Cairn Yarn. Sounds better.
Cairn Ryan, Yarn Yarn.
Cairn Ryan. It is a fucking mouthful.
Cairn Ryan.
It is a mouthful of haggis, that. Cairn Ryan.
You pull in. I pulled in on the motorway. I was like, I needed a rest, man.
Oh, yeah.
What's the best way to rest? You know yourself.
I know anger to that.
And that's one thing, man. You any vans in a camp, in a parking lot, whatever, you can be guaranteed someone's in some van having a go. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I think about that every time.
Did you have a
van?
5-liter drum for that thing? I'm just popping in the cost of an empty seam. It's a month's worth of jizz.
5 liters of jizz. That's diabolical.
Going to the sperm bank in Edinburgh.
You've hit the jackpot today, folks.
Should money back? How much?
Counting it out like change.
Starving artist, my ass. Wanking a Pepsi bottle and fuck up.
You just come out and be like, I'm done with the Fringe boys. Made £28,000 emptying my bag into a bucket. It's a different type of passing around the bucket.
It's not all mine, but your luck, it'll do.
Oh fuck yeah, now I might start looking for a van now. Think about it. Just drive 10 meters down the street.
No, man, you've got a garage. Don't get greedy.
Yeah. I have a lot of work to do tonight. You know, I'll be back. You could have more picturesque wanks.
Oh, yeah.
You pull up a Port Stewart Strand. The waves lapping in, you know. You out the back, tailgating.
Looking at the sea. If that's what gets you on, yeah. Do you ever hear that story about the sperm donations in America? There was one lad, it was in the papers recently. He was he had autism, and they just didn't really do a proper background check in these sperm banks. I can't remember what state it was, but anyway, he went around to all these different sperm banks, and let's say you want sperm, you need a bit of sperm because you want to have a baby, and the sheet they'd give you, it had a picture of the donor. And he was a very good looking guy, right? And then they'll have like stats about him. So he said he had a PhD. He didn't have a PhD. So I don't know where he did. He make up some false papers and a bit of Photoshop, show them. They were just like, yeah, Grant, there's the bucket, go on. And he gave, so he had all this info, and they didn't do a proper background. And then all these women were getting, paying for this guy's sperm. So like, geez, he's super smart, super good looking. Yeah, I'll take that one. And all these people were having kids with autism. And somehow they kind of clocked and found each other through the internet, saying, I got sperm from this sperm bank or this sperm bank, and my child has autism. And they kind of found each other. So it was like hundreds of women who had this kid. And then they took the sperm bank to court, sued the fuck out of them. And sperm bank was like, we can only pay like three of you. And we're now bankrupt. Goodbye.
My God.
So it's a risky business.
I mean, you'd think there'd be some sort of paperwork there to stop you just dumping loads every week for, you know, you should be able to do it like once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You shouldn't be like in there every Thursday morning, just like ready to rock. There was that documentary on Netflix though that had the doctor who, this is back in the day before they could like take the sperm, freeze it, keep it, redo all that shit. You had to get it literally like fresh. So donors were, you were supposed to like line up the donor with the,
like a glory hole.
Well, not quite in close proximity. You know, there was maybe a room separating them. Okay. But one dude with
two glory holes.
Because it's the
and a doctor in the middle.
It's like cornhole, cornholing or whatever you call that shit. It's like a hatch at a restaurant. Table two. Service, please. She got her ass pressed. No, but that's good. No, so you had to like get the donation. Run around the corner with it and give it to the girl who wanted it.
Jeez.
Basically. Yeah. Or person who is of baby carrying ability. But this doctor was basically like, I can't be organizing all that shit. He'd be like, yeah, I'll be back with you in 2 minutes. And this guy was just launching loads in the cups.
Ah, yeah, I heard about
it. And the guy, how many kids did the guy have? Like hundreds?
Ah, yeah. It was
the whole town was like related. Because I want to say, I mean, am I making that up that some of the offspring who didn't know each other were like fucking hooking up? And did I make that up?
No, I think I remember.
I might have just, was that true? I might have just, you know, developed the plot in my head there.
So wait, how many loads was he, is this in the one day he was doing multiple loads?
Yep. So if he had like three or four customers, clients, patients,
waiting around the corner.
He would just be like, yeah, I'll go and make sure this is ready for you. And he'd nip in this.
The doctor himself. Yeah,
and he was an old guy too. So he's fair play to him. He was fucking still pumping it out. But like, he would come back in the room, probably, you know, all flustered and stuff. Yeah, that's ready for you now. But the whole fucking town was like related, basically.
Yeah. He made his own Norway. It's crazy.
Made his own what?
Norway?
Norway? What does that mean?
Isn't Norway they have to have the dating app to make sure they're not fucking their cousin?
Iceland.
Iceland, that's the one.
Yeah.
Geography.
Well, that's probably any island life, isn't it?
Yeah, why doesn't Ireland have that?
It could do with it.
It could do with it, man.
Yeah.
Nah.
Well.
You wouldn't be riding your own cousin around here, would you?
I would say there's a few, like it's not far off. Mm. Like, you know how, you know, if you ever get in a bit of bother or something, you see how quickly the information gets around the country.
Mm.
It's the same thing. It's a small country, you know.
Mm. My cousins are stinking.
All you need is like, yeah, mine too.
That's convenient for you. Mine are not bad, so.
Yeah. So, yeah. We'll see what happens, you know what I mean? But like, you know, all it takes is like, you know, one auntie and uncle don't talk to each other and move somewhere else. And someone goes partying in a town. And apparently there is something to do with like, this is, don't ask me how I know this. Apparently if you like have siblings or twins, it's a boy and a girl, and you separate them at birth. When they meet up, they're like attracted to each other.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Somehow.
Gotta nip that in the bud.
Gotta nip. Yeah, I don't know how frequently it happens, like, but you know, apparently there's something to do with it where they're like strangely attracted to you.
Yeah, that's another app we need as well. Fucking
yeah.
Siblings app.
Siblings. Beep, 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 beep.
Like a Bluetooth, like the fucking COVID app, you know?
Yeah.
Just
you've
in case.
Been in contact with a cousin. Stay at home for 10 years.
Leave your town.
Leave your town for 10 years. Yeah. For good. Oh, Jesus. You boys were killing it during COVID. Were we not doing like street gigs and shit?
No, Damo was.
Damo, all right.
What did he created a company, Garden Gigs. Yeah, he was doing all these street gigs. That was a very clever idea.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even, like I knew, I gigged with Damo a good bit, but we weren't doing the Crackdown together at that point. You know, now we're running the Crackdown together after lockdown happened. I was running it beforehand. Garden Gigs, obviously, no one wants a garden gig when you don't have to have a garden gig.
True.
So he joined Crackden and it's fucking never.
So you started Crackden and yeah. Then he sort of came on board?
Yeah, and it expanded. And
you said, I don't know why I thought you were both...
Danny O'Brien was doing the garden
gigs. Both hustlers, you know? I was just thinking you were all jumped with in.
Different hustles.
Different hustles?
Yeah.
Nice. Is Crackden's flying? How many gigs do you have a day? 12?
Yeah, we're trying to add more. We're trying to match your podcast output per gig. We're doing 8 a week now or something.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I do 2 a week in Lavery's and it eats up all of my time.
Yeah, it's a fucking vacuum. Do you like, so we could only run it as 2 people.
Yeah.
And we hire other people to do other things as well. Like,
yeah.
There's no way you could do that on your own. Like,
do you have to be somehow involved, either of you, in everything? Like, can a gig happen and...
Oh, loads of gigs happen and we're not there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a fraction of them. We try and be there. Because it's good crack as well. And if you're going to record the gig or anything like that, you have to be there.
Yeah.
But no, you get MCs, get other people to do it because it's just fucking, it burns you out, man. We're doing 5 nights a week now. We were on 4 and we just were like, all right, the 5th night, someone else is MCing. So we just hire in MCs.
Yeah.
The only problem is there's a good few great MCs, but it's hard to find someone who can turn up early on time, make sure the chairs are arranged and do the other, you know?
Yeah.
Check the acts, all that shit.
Yeah.
A lot of good comics who can turn up, get on a stage, do a bit of crowd work, introduce the acts.
Yeah.
Very scatty bunch, God bless us. You know,
oh.
The other side of it, I'm like, there's 2 people. There's 2 people we can rely on to actually do the other things.
Yeah.
And so that's the stressful part of running it. You're like, all the other things going to happen? We've no idea. It could be a total shit show.
That's it. Yeah, Lavery's is just is about at the point where like, I don't really have to be there. All the time.
Oh, that's the dream.
That only happened recently.
Yeah.
You know, you get enough people in place and they're there.
Yeah.
They even kept the same staff from the bar just on the comedy nights, which was great.
Oh, nice.
Instead of swapping them out, because you would get a new person who would just turn up to like seat people and be like, I don't know what's happening here or whatever. But that's the dream, is to just be able to get everything in place and then start adding more days.
Yeah.
You know?
Tap out.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of big business thing, isn't it? When you turn something into a system. A functioning system, and then you can step outside the system.
Yeah.
You know, that's what most business profit people
do. Sort of have to, because then at a certain point you're like, what other cool stuff can we do? But if you don't have time to think of the cool stuff,
yeah,
or you'll never do it, you know?
Yeah, and creativity, like you'll be just bogged down with admin if you don't start to tap yourself out and do fucking... Also then you end up playing to this one crowd, the Crackdown crowd, you know? And you're not doing all the solo tours or the clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, then you doing those things, you get end up writing new, better, different things. If you're just playing to these fucking one thing, it's
do you ever get a thing because you run gigs, you'll turn up at another gig and be like, what the fuck are they doing here?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not so bad for it, but Maureen is terrible for it. She doesn't even do stand up, but she will turn up and be like, why the fuck is there no music on in here?
Yeah.
Or like, why are those seats there? Why are they not, you know?
Yeah, I've been.
You get very picky. You start looking around like, what the state of this
I place? Try and be patient, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a couple of gigs I've been to, especially, you know, the ones that are starting up gigs. They're the ones that are like, lads, you put no thought into this. There was one guy, but they were in a nice venue. So there was a lighting tech guy. And then the lights were like, it looked like the whole room and the stage looked like the red light district in Amsterdam. And then there was like blue lights. And I was like, I don't know what team you're going for. Is it like Ukraine versus Russia or something? I don't, what's going on in here? So I went up to the lighting guy and I was like, look, man, you know, it's quite red, quite blue over there. Will you put a bit of yellow, a bit of white, just so, you know, kind of just broad lights for the stage. How about that? And then he did that. And then the MC who runs the night came up to me. He's like, I don't know what is different about tonight, man. but it is, it's a killer tonight, man. And I was like,
you probably find out though with Dublin where it's like, there must be like new gigs and rooms popping up all the time.
Dublin is fucking, it's great, but it's mayhem. It's like every week there's a new club popping up, but which is good because, you know, it's competitive and then there's really good clubs and then there's like new whatever. But yeah, it's good, man. I mean, I look up to Belfast and I, Jesus, like, you've got something going here. You don't have as many clubs, but the quality is very good. Like, you know, like Lavery's, the Empire, and what else you got? The Pavilion or something?
Pavilion's open mic.
Okay, right.
Pugs is decent when it's running.
Yeah.
It seems to be quite patchy though. It's like on and off. But yeah, it's the same up here though. There's gigs popping up all over the place, but it's just guys wanting stage time the way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where Lavery's came from, was just me not being able to get booked in the Empire and go, fuck this, I'll start another gig.
Did you start with one night a week, was it? And then, or one?
It wasn't even per week. It was one a month, then two a month was a big jump for us.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it is now where, you know, you put, like, the night will be sold out and we haven't even got a fucking lineup.
Yeah.
Out yet, you know, stuff like that. You used to have to put the thing up and it was all pay at the door. So you had no idea who was going to turn up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was a period of time where it was like twice a month and you would have to turn people away.
Yeah.
And that didn't feel great either because you're like, fuck, if we'd have known that, we could have done two shows or something.
I met a guy last night outside in the smoking area after the gig and he was like, I love Lavery's. I don't know why they're not doing Fridays.
Welsh
like,
guy,
we'd all come and he was Australian. He was hammered. I don't know what he was trying to say, but he was saying he wants Fridays. He wants Lavery's Fridays. So is that the next? Is that?
Oh, it's such a weird. We're in such a weird middle ground where it's like, if we added another day, it's just a lot more admin. Taxes and VAT and all this bullshit. Yeah. Whereas if we added three more days, we'd have to go Thursday to Sunday.
Yeah.
Any Sunday gigs we've put on have just, the tickets have flown out because people are seeing, you know, clips and photos and stuff and aren't able to go on a Wednesday and a Thursday.
Yeah.
So you put up a Sunday gig and people are like, yeah.
Yeah. Fun crowds, too.
Great crowds and fucking Lavery's.
Some of those, like, we did a couple of work in progress things. Best crack ever.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of slightly more laid back and you're like, we're just out on a Sunday. Sure, it's kind of, we're just fucking about here.
Yeah.
Here's 20 minutes of new stuff. It's terrible.
That same lad who was chatting to me last night, it was funny, right? He was saying, I love the gig. Thanks, man. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah. Nice to meet you. Shook his hand. And then his missus was there and I went to shake her hand. He was all friendly and then I went to shake her hand and she was like, hi, yeah. And then didn't make eye contact with me for, you know, so I said hi and she was like, yeah, hi. And then I was thinking, did I offend her? You know, sometimes you say something and you've lost that person forever because you said a joke that just flat out offended her.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, oh, fuck man, I must've really offended her. Like she's avoiding me completely. Or is she on the spectrum? It was a fine line.
Could have been that Guinness sperm bank, one of his wins.
Yeah. You should have just went like this. That's my move. You never know. I don't know. Maybe she fancied you. There was one of the times you did a gig and there was a girl that I sort of knew worked on the same thing like years ago. Hadn't seen her in like 10 years. She's like, okay, yeah, blah, blah. And she was with three mates. And then the three of them were like, who is that guy up there? In the you're wearing like a nice woolly jumper. He's the guy in the woolly jumper.
Mm.
And sorry, I was like, he's in there if you want to go three-way him right now. Get in the back of that van.
Jump in. He's got 5 litres of sperm if that's what ready to go. For sale out the back of the van.
Did you get married recently or engaged?
Engaged. Yeah, I got engaged. Sorry.
I'm trying to put the timeline together. Did I speak to you before you were going to get propose or something?
I think the first gig I did here, I mentioned to you, I had a plan.
Yeah.
To propose up on the Sleevely Cliffs in Donegal.
Yeah.
Nice.
She says no.
Exactly. It's yes or no.
Because of the implication.
Yeah. And it worked. It was a great fucking day. But
did you make it up there? Yeah. Did you do it at the, where was it?
We did it up towards the top. Although, no, I didn't get to the top because I had the ring in my pocket and man, you know, I kind of knew, I thought, you know, she's going to say yes. I mean, you're not going to fucking do it if it's complete gamble, you know, you kind of have an idea, but the ring was in my pocket and it felt like it was like hot, like burning into my skin just because I was like, I got to get rid of this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I don't want to. And it was a 2-hour hike to the top of Sleeve League.
So we Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we got 20 minutes in.
You got done in one knee, but not by choice.
Yeah.
Cardio. And.
So, because I was, you know, I was trying to not let her know I was going to propose, keep it a surprise. So I was like, I was just going for a hike. You know, I'll take you up to Donegal. Don't worry about it. And then I'm about 10 minutes into the top. I just, there's all these tourists around, Americans and stuff. And then I was like, yeah, let's take a picture here. I brought my camera because I wanted to record. So I set the camera up. I was like, it's just a timer. She was like, why? Let's keep, we just start. I was like, just fucking, just go there. All right, sit down. I was like, this fucking ring. And I had a bag full of, I had a champagne in my backpack and two glasses as well. So like, that is also like, if she sees the bag, if she sees the ring, if she sees, you know, all that's on my mind is that. So I finally fucking just tell her, sit down there, get out, boom. What I did was we were with our dog, and I put on the dog a little a new collar, and it said, "Anna, I love you. Turn around." Right, very smooth. Right,
I love this.
Fucking slick.
And then the guy engraving that, just like,
no, the prick engraving it, man. I called him up, and I was like, "Can I get this done?" And he goes, "You're proposing, yeah. You're not the first." And I was like, "Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, yeah. Nice one. Yeah,
I do 12 of these a day. You fucking wet lettuce."
And so then I said to Anna, I was like, what's that? And the dog there, what's that little thing? And she went down and looked, and she's like, oh, that's cute. Turned around. I was down on the one knee with the ring out. Boom.
Nice.
Boom. Sorry, ladies at Lavery's. Not today.
Not today. Just fucking 10 American tourists. Like, oh my God.
Those are good people to propose in front of. They probably clapped, didn't they?
One of them was a photographer, and I hadn't planned this at all. And he was like, oh, that's so sweet. Let me take some photos of you guys. And he took a ton of photos and sent me them on Gmail, and they're unreal. Perfect fucking
brilliant.
Record. And then there was a Danish guy who was giving
you hiking
a tour.
Three Black Magics up a hill for no reason. Just a guy there taking snaps.
I got an A10 recorder for this thing.
That a yes? Look in that camera. Yes.
But there was a Danish guy who was doing, he does whiskey tours of Ireland. So he gets a lot of tourists in a bus, drives them around to all the big distilleries in Ireland. And he stopped, and he just loves Ireland, just knows like all these different Irish poets and all. He just fell in love with the country. And he stops and he pulls a bottle of like some ancient lovely whiskey out. He goes, "You're engaged. That's very nice. Let's celebrate, everybody." And then he brought all these tourists, brought loads of glasses out. Everybody, a glass of whiskey, yeah? And then we were after with champagne and whiskey, and it's 11 a.m., and we're just hammered walking up the mountain.
Yeah. It's like, thank fuck we didn't walk to the top. Fucking steaming. That's unreal.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a funny thing in stand-up now, like, not this. I'm going to come across badly in this story, but not to be cocky now, but in Edinburgh just gone, I did a spot at a gig. We're doing it with Aideen McQueen. And then she actually came to my solo show that same day. So she witnessed this whole thing pan out. Did a spot. Just a 10-minute quick bunch of gags and told all these people, come to my show, flyer to them. Then they came to the solo show an hour later. Like five women, like in their whatever 20s. They were all having fucking their Prosecco brunch. They were on it. Came to the solo show. And in the first 10 minutes of the solo show, I say, oh, I got engaged. And then I do a few jokes about that. And I was doing a bit of crowd work chatting to them. Then I said, yeah, and I just got engaged. And the five of them, all at once, just went like this. No, and stood up and walked out of the show. They're in the second row, like just completely, we're just like, as if I had led them, you know, as if I was some dishonest prick who, you know, all I did was do a gig and flyer them. And then they're like, this fucking arsehole. No, fuck you, man. Fuck you. Stood up and...
We, all five of us, were going to fuck you. And now we're not. I hope you're happy.
What an opportunity. So I brought the van around again and just...
If you hadn't been single and then fucking...
Yeah. Oh, I've been doing stand-up. I met Anna and started going out with her the exact same time I started doing stand-up. And I love her, folks. That's all I'm saying.
But one good girl is worth five in a van.
That's true. Yeah, that's the old phrase. Driving up yesterday to Belfast. And it's funny, you know, when you've obviously... gone down south, but one thing, you're driving up, I always wonder, like, when am I in the north, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, am I in the north? And you don't even need the road signs, man. I just start seeing the flags.
Yeah.
You know, I was driving, I was like, am I in the, where, what county, is that an Israeli flag? is that a Palestine flag on the other side? And I'm in the north now. Yeah. You know, if you like, what's going on? Israeli Palestine flags all around the city, all around the north.
Yeah, well, I think what has happened is over the years, the Irish have sympathized with Palestine.
Yeah.
Similar sort of scenario.
Yeah.
Even though Kieran Bartlett yesterday was like, it's not similar at all. And you're like, you know, for the purpose of the drill,
there's a connection. There's
same
a
thing.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, the sort of loyalist side just immediately go to the far end of the spectrum. So I think they're just like, these boys like Palestine. Guess what?
Yeah.
We like Israel now.
Yeah.
I think that's because we love a conflict.
Yeah.
You know, we're conflict people.
Yeah.
That's what we enjoy.
Right.
So they just jump in.
One thing I will say though, okay, so you got the flags. That was, at first time I came up, that was a bit confusing. But I was like, all right, well, you know, fair play. And then it's a lot tidier up north.
Do you think so?
Yeah, the towns, like a little town you're driving in and you're like, fucking man, this is a clean little place. Like no rubbish. And even Belfast, tidy. It's nice. You go back to Dublin and I'm like, fucking pick up your shit, will you? You know what I mean?
There is a bit of that. Belfast is a little bit sort of like sheltered.
Yeah.
Nearly, I feel. You know, like we just got heroin, you know?
Oh, yeah?
You know?
How's that going?
We would have to go somewhere else to see a junkie, like, but...
Yeah.
You know, you know, up here, you're like, you know, you'll see a couple of...
Junkie tourism.
A couple of guys knocking about, but they're still on the Frosty Jacks and, you know, they're still on the cider and stuff. But we only recently got it. And it was a rude awakening because I was in Cafe Nero on Botanic and we were sitting at the window, so there's like a pane of glass here, and then there was a couple outside looking very frantic, up and down, pacing up and down, obviously waiting for a dealer or something.
Yeah.
And then they got some whatever drugs they were getting, and the girl looked like she was like straddling the guy on the seat, and then she just like injected something into his neck, and this is happening right outside, like this is the pane of glass here and we're on a sofa. And they're just on the seat outside and we're just, you know, with two cappuccinos, like, pretend like we didn't see that there, you know. And then they were very calm because beforehand they were restless, pacing up and down.
Yeah.
And then they were just chilling.
Yeah.
Having a flat white.
have they put the blue lights into the toilets in Nero yet? That's what you get in Dublin.
Yeah, they've got them on buses and shit.
Yeah.
So you can't see your veins.
Yeah.
That's rude, isn't it? These people are sick. Let them inject.
That's the thing. They put the blue lights in the toilets.
Yeah,
because you can't see your veins under it.
Yeah, so there's no light switch. It's just like one big blue neon in the bathroom. So you're just
the whole place is glowing with pish. It's like one of those fucking CSI shows. What would it be like if you got the UV light in the back of the van?
Oh man, that's
like
one
a Jackson
thing I
Pollock.
Want.
Just fucking splattered all over the place. I'd be terrified if that's real.
What the?
Can you just shine a light into something and be like, jizz everywhere?
I think so. They used to do that show Room Raiders on MTV.
Yeah, that was where they try and do a, like, hook up a date, but the person has to judge the room before they meet the person.
Oh, yes. Is that what that was?
Yeah. Because I watched it and I was like, Wayne, and I was like, what's that for? Like, pish or something?
Yeah.
And then you grow up and you realize they're looking for spunk.
I'm about 2 or 3 years older than you, so I just figured out that was spunk watching that show. Yeah. And I mean, looking back on it, what a way to figure out a blind date. Do you want to go out on this date? Look at the bed. There is semen on the bed or there's not semen on the bed. How does that indicate anything about the date?
I totally agree, Malarkey.
Like he's either got a healthy libido,
mm-hmm.
there's semen on the bed.
Yeah.
Or he's very clean and there's no semen on the bed. They're both wins. How are you supposed to discern whether to go on the date by...
Be weird if you were in the kitchen and there's like... this countertop's full of jizz.
So one place I won't wank. I will not have a wank
in the
kitchen.
He'll do it in the playground. He'll do it fucking anywhere. But he'll not pull one off in the kitchen.
Not in the kitchen. That is crazy behavior.
In your mother's house?
Yes.
In the kitchen? That's perfectly...
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
If you're in an Airbnb...
No, but I wouldn't even do it in like...
If you're in an Airbnb kitchen? By yourself... And you're waiting for the toast to cook?
No.
You just can't bust one out?
Go to
just pretend you're looking out the window.
Should you butter the toast with the...
you couldn't butter toast with mine?
No.
You'd rip the bread?
It's like Marmite? Oh, sorry.
I was going to say porridge, but Marmite's way more stinking.
Some people love it.
What age are you?
31.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. Caesar talking about MTV shows, and I'm like, what's MTV? I missed it. I missed the whole thing. God, there is something about doing comedy where you forget about people's ages, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You just think, like, oh, we're all just, you know, guys doing comedy.
Yeah, just doing our bits.
Damo's a weird one.
45 now.
What?
Yeah.
Holy
the guy,
shit. Benjamin Button?
Yeah. Yeah, he'd pass for 32. He'd pass for, like...
I mean, yeah.
I think he's younger? Got something with his thyroid.
Like, what?
No, he does. I don't know. Medically, I don't know. But
hard
I think,
left.
Because he's so energetic all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Overactive thyroid?
Oh, that? Possibly. I'm like, how does he have this much energy? He's got a kid. He's up at 7 or 8. He does all the stuff, brings the kid to school. Then he's doing admin, whatever. Then he's doing a fucking corporate gig. Then he's turning up at the crack den. And then I'm just like, how does that man... I'm up at 11.
Yeah.
You know...
Dragging your ass.
Yeah, fucking, yeah. Trying to get anything done. And then I've got 7 missed messages off him. Fucking, I was like, what the fuck's going on with this guy's thyroid? Like, there's no way. And he looks like he's 32 and he's in great shape.
Yeah.
I love Demo.
Yeah.
He's fucking. His energy is so contagious.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got like childlike wonder about everything. I love him.
Yeah. Yeah. Curiosity.
I stayed at his house the last time I was over doing the crackdown.
Yeah.
And I stayed in the tent, his back garden. Yeah. I had a fucking great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you play with Max? Did you
meet
Max?
Yeah. Went to the park and all.
Yeah.
Was that the day we ended up going to the rugby?
Yes.
And he rang me and he was at a museum with his kid and he was so excited. He's like, yeah, dude, we're at the fucking museum, yeah. And I'm like, fucking, I just drove for 2 hours and I need to fucking sleep for 9, you know?
Yeah.
The guy's just fucking full of beans, like.
Oh, he's great.
Like that, you organized the tent at, what was that festival called? I forget.
Oh, the Other Side Festival. Other Side, yeah,
that was pretty
good. That was fun as fuck.
That was a good gig, yeah, it was good crack.
A lot of fun. You see, there's so many festivals in Ireland now that I was like, I've never heard of this in my life. It's probably like a tiny little festival. And then you get there and it's like, this is legit as fuck. This is like,
it was great.
Pretty, you know, big-ish festival, you know?
Yeah, yeah, the comedy was packed for the whole weekend.
Yeah, like it was unreal.
Everyone set, everyone ripped it, everyone, yeah, it was a great fucking weekend, yeah.
I was hammered.
Were you?
I got absolutely accidentally hammered.
Yeah. Didn't I drop the mic and everything?
I did.
Yeah.
I was
like,
someone's going to invoice me for this. I did the old fucking, anyway, guys, clunk and just dropped it on the floor. Because it was a hot day. We got off. I wasn't sure what I was expecting.
You had McCartney driving though, so you were off the hook, weren't you?
Yeah, but in your head you think, I'm doing a festival, this is going to be a nightmare. That's just your default mode. Yeah, like, you know, there's going to be music pumping in the background. No one's going to be listening. And then I got there and it was packed out. And I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
And then I relaxed a bit and had a few too many pints before I went on.
Yeah.
In the blazing sun.
Gigging drunk is fun, though.
It's fun.
You can't do it all the time. It's quite sad. But if you do it the odd time, it's nice.
Do you not do it at a festival.
Huh?
You do it all the time.
No, you're not.
You'd be like, I'm not drinking. I've only had 6.
I'll have 2 complimentary Peronis at Lavery's Comedy Club.
Wet the whistle.
Wet the whistle, you know, especially if I'm MCing, you know.
Hmm.
But no, gigging like steaming is like, it can be the most fun you'll ever have. But then you listen back to the audio and you're like, oh, I was eating shit.
Yeah. But the experience is very different to the reality when you're steaming. But at a festival, if everyone is steaming in the audience and you're steaming, then it works really well because you're matching the energy of the audience.
Yeah.
If you're
that's
really,
why I do it.
If you're really so, that's why, yeah, you only
I'm doing
kick.
This for you.
I'm trying to match your energy.
Yeah, you guys have too much energy.
If you're stone cold sober and everyone is steaming, it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
You know? But if you're steaming, you're like, this is some crack. Half these people are listening and they're having a great time.
Over time though, I've become like sympathetic to anyone being a bit rowdy or drunk in a crowd because you hardly ever go to a comedy night as a punter anymore. And when you do and you're having drinks, you know, by the time the break comes around, you're like, I'm fucking hammered.
It's the most fun way to get drunk.
Because you're drinking and you're drinking away and you've got 2 pints and you're just sipping and you haven't moved or talked.
Mm.
And then you go to move or talk and you're like, oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I can't fucking move. It's like when Lavery's used to do like beer of the month and they had this Polish beer, Zivich or something. I don't know what the fuck it was called. But I remember having a few of them during like a live podcast or something and stood up at the break and I was like, I need an ambulance quickly.
Yeah, they would get you blocked.
I am fucking trashed. Strong shit.
Yeah.
Strong shit. So the crack den's running 5 nights a week. If you're in Dublin, my guys, get along to the fucking crack den.
Come to the crack den.
Yeah, it is. It's my favourite room in Dublin.
You're going to be on soon as well, Aaron.
Yeah, I'll be down in December.
7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Pop in. Come watch Aaron rip it. semi-sober.
Stay in Damo's tent.
Yeah. Well, you crash on mine for two nights, stay in Damo's for one night.
Sounds great.
Inflatable mattress.
Don't cost it.
Get in the back of the van.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give it a scrub.
Yeah. Get a bit of Febreze and I'll fucking keep on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get them. Get the Febreze after. Yeah. Would be my suggestion.
5 liters of Febreze.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You might need a couple of extra tanks of McCann's then in it. Fill her up. Happy days, man. We'll fuck it. We'll wrap it up. We'll get out of here.
Well, yeah. One other thing I wanted to say as well. Coming up to driving up to Belfast. One thing I noticed coming into North, it's tidier and there's a lot less Blessed Virgin statues.
Oh yeah.
Do you go? You've been to Galway.
Yeah.
We did a gig in Galway recently.
You're from Galway.
I'm from Galway.
What's it like? Are you from close to the town?
Originally from the countryside at East Galway, right? Right. And we're out there, man, it's Blessed Virgins everywhere. Like
yeah.
The empty fields, just Blessed Virgin at the front. Like
the little stone
cave
thing that they put them in.
Yeah. Yeah, and not just any virgin either. Like it is Mary.
I think the OG that, virgin.
The OG, yeah. Not, some
not
fucking
just any virgin.
Virgin Derek, the IT guy or something. No, it is Mary. Like
You will get it in certain sort of country areas up here, I think.
Yeah.
You get a few holy bits.
They are still around, yeah.
There's a place that we go for a walk close to our house, and there's like a, I don't know what you call this sort of house. It's like a big old house. But there's a few priests. It's almost like they retire there and then they do a little casual mass in the evening if you want to go in. But we just walk around the woods around the place. But they got some spooky statues there.
Oh, I'd say so.
Like they got one of this fucking just evil looking priest, not even holding a baby, just like grabbing a baby out to the side.
Wait, hold on. They've got a statue of a priest holding a baby.
Yeah.
An evil looking one.
I never read the plaque. It probably says something, you know, like this.
Mother and baby, fucking Jesus. Yeah, anyway, sorry, no.
Yeah, he's just like holding his baby. And there was one day I took an Instagram story and just put a bit of fucking music over the top. But I was like, I'll not put that up. It's a bit too close to home, you know, I'll probably get shit for that.
I'd say they had to hide those statues out in the forest because they were like, the public were just like, here, you can't be putting up priests holding babies.
Hashtag not all priests.
Hashtag not all priests.
You know?
Yeah.
It was fucking... It was fucking one of his.
Was it a few of them? Gaggle of them?
A few of them? Relocated, you know? Had to move parishes. Had to do it in the transfer window. Get to another team.
Here's something that happened the other night at a fucking gig, and I did it last night at Lavery's as well, where I was chatting to some American one, and she was a teacher. She was telling me, she brought it up, that they have to do safety drills for school shootings.
Yeah.
And she said they have to do them every month now and she's sick of them and all these. And I was like, fuck, that's grim. Like, I was in a little Catholic school. We never had to do... Can you imagine doing that? And then I said, well, actually, we did. We did have safety drills. There's Father Hannity. Duck and dive. Duck and dive.
Backs to the wall. That's a great... That'd be a good bit.
Yeah.
I would just use that as a bit.
Oh, well, that's the plan, you know? He's got a concealed weapon under his robe. Everybody. Hide under the desk. Not that desk. Fuck, man.
That's a special desk.
That's fucking hectic. They do school shooting drills.
Yeah, that's grim, isn't it?
It's bleak as fuck.
It's what has to be done. How'd you fail that class, man? That's...
Wait, doesn't Chevelle have a bit about that where he's like, but the school shooter's also there, so he knows exactly what they're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Chevelle has a bit about that.
Yeah.
But it's weird when you see those, you know, there's obviously like a company designing... a device that just slot, you just drop it into a hole in the floor behind the door and it makes it completely like, you can't even bash the door in.
Oh, right.
That's terrifying.
It's like a bulletproof door is like as well.
Yeah, but Jeez. They have this little T-shaped thing that just drops into the floor and that's the door completely fucking jammed shut.
Fucking hell.
Fuck that.
I like how many workarounds, you know, they do drills, they've got technology that does a lockdown, like safety room almost.
Yeah.
The last thing they'd ever do is try and... like just slow down the purchase of guns, you know.
Yeah.
That's the last option. It's fucking yeah.
Tenfold hat time now. That's what keeps the guns, you know, being sold.
I was at Shoot Range in Austin and they had Mother's Day specials.
Oh
yeah.
Well, shoot your mother. Payback time, bitch.
Bought my little spa. Like a fucking, I could have bought her a rifle, an AR-15.
So it's a discount, is it, for your mother, like the idea being, or it's just trying to...
Yeah, it's going for family fun, you know, fun for the whole family.
Were families there when you were there? Was it like...
Oh yeah, it's a proper like day out.
Yeah.
You know, you fucking, I shot an AR-15. What was that like? Oh, I put the fear of God in me.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, because I wasn't like, you know, there was guys shooting and they looked like, you know, they were used to it. They knew the crack and whatnot.
Yeah.
I was shooting it and just every shot, just like taking fear.
Yeah.
And knocked my fucking teeth out in the first one thing.
Yeah.
Think of what that would do to your poor mother.
I know.
Just poof, shoulder out.
Yeah.
Shoulder on the floor, you know.
So it looks like you're holding it like a terrorist, the way you're holding the gun there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like kind of like low down, like with the straight, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
You know, do they tell you how to hold
it? Oh, the guy, the best part was the guy that was taking us for the thing was called Gunner. And he talked like that, and he
malarkey
was like...
Gunner nominated. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Fucking...
And he was like, you know, he's like, we had to put, you know, we had to put these things in here to separate the shooters because, you know, long story short, someone come in here the other week and they done blowing their brains out. So, and I was like, oh, and I have to go into a room with like 8 other people that are all firing guns. It felt like, it felt eerie. Like,
did they blow their own brains out or blow someone else's?
No,
brains?
They killed themselves in the thing. They like went into the shooting range and then just, that was it.
But deliberately?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why would you do that in the I guess
handy place to get a gun.
Yeah, you can rent a gun.
Oh,
clean up someone else's problem.
He's like $60 an hour, and he's like, "I won't need it for an hour."
Can you pay by the month?
How much for 2 minutes? I'm gonna have a quick pish and walk straight out and blow my brains out. Some shift with an AR-15. Get your toe in it, no? Just fucking. You turn around to say something to him.
Well, imagine the gunk would come out of my head.
That's what I'm saying. You know, like, guys, you know, Gunner's ringing his wife. Like, I'll be home a bit late tonight, darling. Scraping brains off the floor.
Looks like someone blew up a butcher's.
Yeah, and you're going to miss a bit too. You know, you'll come in the next day, you'll be teaching the next guy, and you'll be like, just kicking a fucking ear under the table.
You didn't see that there.
Okay.
Right, I'm surprised he told you. That was a bit unnecessary. You know, you're coming in.
Oh, yeah. Like, I tried just to make it a bit of it. It never worked.
He might just be telling you that to
put the fear into you.
Yeah, make you be sensible.
Yeah.
So when did the Lidl partnership start?
This, I'm a little influencer in the van now.
Yeah.
No, this was €12 in Lidl last week.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of it.
I mean, €12, like, that's the cost. That's fucking 4 things of milk. That's like,
yeah.
That's,
there's some big good section there too.
Oh,
it's good, man.
Yeah.
Not to bring too hot of a take to the podcast.
Yeah,
here, but.
Yeah, we don't want to get into conspiracies right now.
I mean, who else? If not,
one of my favorite things to do is watch. You know, like maybe like a foreign guy who lives in the town near me. Go into Lidl and just try and work out that bread machine that slices the bread for you.
Oh, it's a her.
This motherfucker was crosshatching the tiger bread, like, come out like croutons. He did it like two directions.
Putting in already packed plastic loaves.
No, that gives me PTSD to the ham machine at the spa. I used to duck that all the time.
Yeah.
I used to work at a spa and, you know, if someone rang the bell, you'd have to go down and get the Denny's crumbed ham.
Yeah.
And the machine is like something out of fucking Robot Wars. It's terrifying looking.
The big slicer moving.
Yeah, big massive slicer.
Like that scene in The Wrestler and he's not paying attention. Yeah,
exactly. And like, you know, the ham would get down right to the nub, you know, and you'd be pushing it and you're like, my fucking whole hand's going to come off here.
Yeah. For some reason, yeah, every time I'm in Lidl getting that slice in the loaf, my brain just, all I can think about, it closes, it's safe, it secures, then it goes. And then I open it and you have to get your loaf.
Yeah.
You're going to have to put your hand where the blade is, you know, and pull the loaf up. And all I can think about is just my hand getting chopped off for like 10 seconds. All I see is just a nub. You know, the brain just...
God. Anyway, that's some final destination.
Thanks for having me on the podcast. Lads, anyway.
We'll just fade that to black and white and play some music over it. And you're like, I just imagine my hand disappearing into the machine. All for a top. No, it's a swag top. We'll wrap it up here, my guys. We'll do some pisses, do some comedy.
Me and Damo are starting a new podcast just before we go. It's called Eddie and Damo's Hangover Cure.
Oh, nice.
And it's coming out next week. So yeah, keep an eye out for that.
Very nice. And if you're in Dublin, get to the crack then. Any solo shows coming up?
Galway Comedy Festival. If you're in Galway, the 28th of October, Saturday next week at 6 p.m.
Just before the World Cup final?
Just before, hopefully... Yeah, hopefully the lads will also double up. That's my living hope.
Nice. I'm up there on the 29th.
Ah, deadly.
But there was talk of going down the night before because Tom O'Mahony was thinking of doing a small gig where you watch the match and commentate over it.
Oh, is this vetted by the Galway Comedy Festival official, or is this Tom rocking up to a pub with a speaker and a microphone?
Probably the latter. But I'm into it.
That would be great crack.
Yeah.
But the audience have to know, though.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. No, it would be billed as that.
Oh, okay,
not
nice.
Just going to, rock up to some pub playing it, you know. Him just fucking, bit of feedback and all.
Yeah.
He's fucking All Blacks. He's fucking All Blacks, I'm telling you. Bastards. Right, we'll get out of here. Cheers for coming on, man. Appreciate it. Cheers, Aaron.
Thanks, Dunbar.
You hated that, Aaron.
What?
You hated it?
No, it was I got it. That was just
he got it, dude.
I was crashing, sorry.
Get a wee nap now, anyway.
Starving.
Happy days. Right, cheers, guys. Cheers for listening. Get on over to patreon.com/generalmatterpodcast. All that good stuff. Where else? congas.com for tour details. Of two tour dates left, so the list will be short. Liverpool, Manchester. Do you want to go?
Yeah, fuck it.
Can you make it happen?
I can make it happen.
Let's book some shit. Right, guys, see you later. Thanks for all.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.